Are you seeking more energy, inspiration, wisdom? If so, you're not alone. Each episode is a glimpse into the live discussions we're creating at TogetherWeSeek.online. I'm JJ DiGeronimo, a lightworker and curious soul, interviewing some amazing practitioners and lightworkers to explore inspiration and ancient wisdom with the goal of illuminating our knowing, brightening our path, and further manifesting our work. Hello, it's JJ DiGeronimo, and I'm so thrilled you're here with us again at TogetherWeSeek.online. This community is for women to connect in new ways, find alternative paths, and really connect with their inner wisdom. And today, I could not be happier to have Nina Simons with us today. She has a wealth of knowledge and an amazing career on working in the new phases of leadership. So Nina, I'm so excited to have you here, and I cannot wait to even start diving in to what you mean by unique forms of leadership.
Well, JJ, I'm thrilled to be here with you and with this great community. And what happened for me, JJ, was when I turned 40, which was about 25 years ago, I started being acknowledged for my leadership, and I found I didn't like it. I wanted to dodge. I felt like it painted a target on my back, and I wasn't sure that I had earned it. And I wasn't even sure that it was a title that I aspired to. And meanwhile, my husband and I had co-created this nonprofit organization called Bioneers, and I had been studying all of these innovative leaders from all walks of life and from all backgrounds and disciplines and sectors. And so I got very curious about why I had that reaction to being called a leader. And I knew from Bioneers that the earth is asking us all to be leaders now, each in our own way. And so I thought, ooh, this is a problem. I wonder if other women have this reaction to being called leaders. And at the same time, so I launched an inquiry within myself, and it led to my writing my first book, actually, because I reviewed transcripts from talks from hundreds of leaders, most of them women, but not all, to understand which were the ones who exemplified models of leadership that I could wholeheartedly aspire to. And at the same time, I started convening groups of women leaders who all showed up saying they weren't leaders, even though we had pre-selected them knowing they were leaders. And we began together unpacking, what is it about this mental model of leadership that we have that so many of us don't feel comfortable with? And began to realize that it was part of a mental model that has been reinforced in many sectors, but very strongly in the business sector, as you yourself pointed out, JJ, where only those human qualities that are associated with the masculine are what's appreciated and valued. And those human qualities that are associated with the feminine, and I use air quotes because I think we have a lot of reclaiming to do to understand what is healthy masculine, what is healthy feminine, and how do they work together to create healthy wholeness for all humans. But I began to see that all of our systems and all of the problems and challenges we face, whether they're social or ecological, could be seen as an imbalance between the masculine and the feminine. So that really set me off on a journey of research and exploration and working with nearly 1,000 women leaders to try to understand the answers to those questions.
I love that. And I'm smiling because I can relate to so much you're saying, even back to being 40. When I was 40, I went to Sedona by myself for my 40th birthday because I was getting an inner nudge for something else. And I was, moving through my tech career in such a beautiful fashion, exactly where I wanted to go with it. And I could see the titles and the positions in sight, those executive positions. But I was so unsettled inside. And I just needed someone to help me figure out what the voices were, what the nudges were, and like make sense of why I felt so unsettled.
Well, that's such an interesting point, JJ, because, you know, for me, one of the things that resonates really deeply is that Carl Jung said the masculine is about the external and the feminine is about the internal. And really what I found was that I had this whole internal world inside me that, you know, was giving me information all the time that I was not necessarily heeding. And that part of reinventing leadership, which I believe we're all doing each in our own ways, is to value those inner knowings, you know, and to pay attention to them because they come for a reason and they're all part of this magnificent creation that nature has endowed us with that science and medicine are only beginning to understand, frankly, and that has far more mystery to it than we typically acknowledge.
It is so true, but I believe that internal wisdom is the nuggets or the seed that will give women the confidence. Because what I see a lot in the professional space, I see a flood of self-doubt. And I believe it's because we leave half our knowing at the door and then we're asked to participate in a very masculine structure where we're so unsure about ourselves, even if we have the degrees, even if we have the titles. So how do you sort of uncouple that in a world that's so heavily masculine right now?
Well, on the one hand, the world looks very heavily masculine right now. And on the other hand, the feminine is ascendant everywhere. And if you only know where to look, it's pretty remarkable. There's evidence of the rebalancing happening even as we speak. But I agree that women are plagued with insecurity. And, you know, a lot of it, I think, is because, especially in the business world, we are taught that good business people are strategic and analytical, that all of your prowess as a business leader comes from your head. And actually, many of the ancient spiritual traditions and our indigenous elders tell us that leadership actually has to come from the heart and that the longest distance in the human being can often be the distance between head and heart. And, you know, there's a wonderful reference that I would share with you all, which is there's a book that and a website that's called The Athena Doctrine. And it's about these two researchers who did this meta study all over the world of 13 countries. And I don't remember the exact statistics, but basically what they found was that 67% of the people that they surveyed agreed that the world would be a healthier place if more people led like women. And, you know, what does leading like a woman mean? When we take that apart, I think a lot of what they're pointing to is what I call relational intelligence, you know, and a lot of what I learned, I mean, I learned a huge amount in 20 years of women's retreats with women leaders, a lot of which I poured into this recent book, which I'm very proud and happy is going out into the world now. But, you know, I poured it into the book as a discussion guide and embodied practices. And these are things that, you know, college professors are using and people in circles are using, or you can just use them as your own private practices. What I found was that I really needed to develop a whole bunch of practices and rituals about peeling away cultural conditioning that was self-limiting and self-doubting and self-criticizing and really cultivating the parts of me that I wanted to grow, just like for those of you who are gardeners, you know, you cultivate a plant, you really want to flourish. And it makes a big difference if you tend to it that way. I think leadership is an ongoing self-cultivation. And I think there are as many forms of leadership as there are people in the world right now. You know, part of this notion is we keep measuring ourselves against some mental model that doesn't really apply to who we are. And we are much more uniquely individual than we tend to give ourselves credit for. And we need each other in order to reflect those realities and accelerate our learning and our growing and our strengthening.
I love that. And I feel you and I feel your message in such a deep way. And I know other women will too, because they know, I mean, this is what I tell women when I do quite a few keynotes, sometimes I am called to say, like, we create life. Like, how much more confidence do you need in the world? Yes, I mean, really, just we are amazing as is, even without a degree or a job, and most women have both of those. So I feel like this type of information will saturate new levels of knowing that gives them permission to step into what they already know is true.
Yeah. Well, and for me, part of what I did in order to make this book was the middle section of it. I gathered all of the current data, the most current data, about what happens when more women ascend into leadership, and what happens when more women have reproductive rights, and what happens when more women are educated. And it turns out, when you add all those three things together, for one thing, it's one of the greatest benefits for climate change anybody can imagine. And secondly, every aspect of societies benefit from it, every single one. So the men benefit, the water benefits, the ecology benefits, the kids benefit, the food system benefits, everything, you know? And so, and yet we are living in a time when roughly 2% of the philanthropic money that's going out the door to support international climate zones and conflict zones, only 2% of it is going to women-led organizations. So, you know, I'm doing my part to shift that.
I love that. And I you know, I listen to, I'm sure you've heard of Lynn Twist and her book, The Soul of Money, right?
Of course.
Yes. And if you've read it, you know, the story about the women in the water, you know, they ran out of water. So that's just a magnificent book if anyone is interested. But I want to really go back to this because I just read an article that was sent to me yesterday. I'm not going to call out the executive, but he was at Apple. And he's like, I just don't know why there's not more women in tech. And, you know, we have this, oh gosh, I was debating whether or not to send my own message to him, but there is a gap right now, right? So my calling in life, I believe, is to get more women at more tables. That's what I work for every single day. I come and sit at my desk. And a lot of that is really helping women step into what they know is true and giving themselves permission to step forward and take that seat. But there is some real logistics right now in regards to corporations, sponsorship, alignment to, for executive exposure, getting the right projects, P&L experience, like real tactical things to make that so. So when you have these women retreats and you discuss it with these women, I mean, do you think you're starting to see a shift, or is there ways companies are doing it in a way that's actually working?
Well, a lot of my work has been in the nonprofit sector, although I have earlier experience in the corporate sector, but not in the tech sector, which I think is probably one of the hardest, actually. And, you know, some of my favorite women researchers have said that they believe that gender bias is the deepest bias in the human psyche, deeper than race or faith or any other bias. You know, I think that for a long time, the patriarchal belief system said men are better at STEM and women are better at relationship and raising babies. And in fact, of course, there's a whole political movement going on right now to try to make that, to turn back the clock and make that be the case again. But we know that we all have feminine and masculine within us. We all have rational and relational capacities and intelligences. And that, I mean, I think in a way, you know, I think one of the biggest obstacles is men understanding and appreciating that women can rise without it devaluing them, right? That a feminist culture does not mean women are on top and men are underneath. It means everybody benefits again. And I think, you know, knock on wood, I hope that the coming elections help prove that to be so, that the women actually, if this doesn't get women to rise up, I'm not sure what will.
That's so true. It's so true. And I love your point of just, you know, just bringing it full circle on, you know, where we're at now and what is possible. And I do think that all these things that are happening is strategic by the universe to get women to care enough to use their voice for what matters to them. And so I'm super excited about that. And I really do hope that this is the time, because I'm not sure anyone listening, if they follow the cycles of the sun, but we're moving from the fifth sun to the sixth sun. And the sixth sun is a really about the feminine energy and nurturing the planet and nurturing the humans. So we know that the universe is moving us in that direction, even if the humans are not ready.
You know, there's one quick story I would share with you too, JJ, which is one woman who took one of our retreats was a labor organizer, and she was a tiny petite person. And she told us a story about convening a group of labor organizers where she cared so much about the issue at hand that she started crying as she led the meeting. And she said she was so proud of herself because she didn't stop. She didn't apologize. She spoke through her tears and through her conviction, you know, and made it safe for anyone at the table to express emotion. And I think that's the kind of thing, in a way, it comes from us being able to hold our own dignity and our own clarity about our own sense of purpose and what we're here for, to really stand in the truth of what we love and what we care about most deeply, because I think that's the most purposeful leadership you can find. And for me, those are the people I always want to aspire to be like, you know?
Yes, and be around. I agree. And I love that. Like, really having a purpose for what you believe in and what you stand for. Man or woman, like having that sense of self and sense of purpose is the most power I've ever can ever see in someone, is when they are that sure.
It's true. And the other thing that I would say about the tech sector and all the sectors, actually, is we are experiencing a generational shift right now. And, you know, if you look at the people under 40 who are gender fluid and have all kinds of flexibility about leadership, and, you know, one of the trends that I see as being most exciting in the nonprofit world is the role of the CEO or executive director is getting shared by two or three people. And I think that's a brilliant move, because I think, for one thing, it's always been an impossible task and job description. And no one person tends to have all those skills in equal balance. And isn't it better to do things in teamwork? I really believe we're moving from a me culture to a we culture. And I think women tend to be better at that.
You know? I hope so. I'm ready for it for sure. So for someone who just finished her third book, you know, book covers are a really big deal. And I've been looking at your book cover for some time over the last week. And I'd love if you could share a little bit about why, you know, why you went with the book cover you did. So it's Nature, Culture, and the Sacred.
And the Sacred, A Woman Listens for Leadership. Well, the title was really important to me because as I've distilled down over the years, what are my greatest sources of inspiration, of guidance, and of trustworthy information? It's nature, culture, and the sacred. Culture is what I'm most called to heal or transform, but it's also what bridges nature and the sacred. And A Woman Listens for Leadership. I do believe that the best leaders among us tend to listen more than we speak. And that's something that has always been a guiding principle for me. And the cover of the book, I have a very dear friend who is this amazing artist and activist whose name is Mayumi Oda. And she's known as the Matisse of Japan. And when she was a small child, she experienced the bombing of Hiroshima and became an anti-nuclear activist for all her adult life, and has made exquisite paintings and prints. And when I saw this book cover, which you can see up behind me, which is actually of a goddess riding a bicycle with Ganesha on the handlebars, I thought, well, that's the most beautiful artful depiction, with her hands in the prayer position. So her hands aren't on the steering wheel. Ganesha's on the steering wheel. And she's praying as she rides. And one of the important insights for me, JJ, in the last couple of years through the pandemic has been to realize that some of the boldest, most courageous and visionary leaders I know as women are women who have been through terrible tragedy in one way or another, sometimes during their lifetimes, sometimes intergenerationally. But there is a way that hardship hones us and we recognize the resilience that it cultivates in us. And I think it's one of the qualities that's most needed right now is that ability to move with the punches. And, you know, we're living through a time of so much turbulence and so much anxiety and so much reactivity that actually cultivating our own center and our own ability to balance within ourselves all of what's going on in connection with whatever we know as sacred. And we all know it differently, but that connection is really more and more essential to me every day.
Nina, that is beautiful. And I just am so touched by how you did the cover because that's so important. And I agree with you. I just had an event last week for 25 lightworkers. And during the event, we had everybody go around the room. And I would tell you that the women with the strongest commitment and I would say connection to light have almost had the most difficult journey to make that so. And so I am seeing that as well.
Yeah. Well, and it's an interesting thing because we live in a time where there is so much polarization and there is often a tendency when you experience terrible hardship to feel like a victim of circumstance. And the choice to not be a victim and to know that it is strengthening you and bringing you some sort of capacities that you have needed to mature into and holding that as a strength, not a weakness, takes you out of the binary, you know? And I think that's really important because, you know, another thing I emphasize in the book is the power of story in leadership. And I think we all know it. We've all experienced it, whether in our work or in our families. But we can shift the course of something with a story. And the stories we tell ourselves are tremendously powerful. And so for a time, I told myself that I was the woman behind the man in my organization. And when I realized that, I was kind of horrified. But I realized that I really believed it. And I looked to the people around me to reflect me. And I said, do you see me at all this way? And they all said, no, not at all. And so it was really an interesting thing of part of, I feel how I've cultivated myself is to compost the stories that lived inside me that no longer serve. And we all have them.
Oh, gosh, do we? Do we? I didn't really realize until I took up a mindfulness practice, which took me 3 tries to start. But once I really got the hang of it, the biggest gift is just hearing how I talk to myself and allowing myself to let those go, because those are often the barriers to women, because they were the barriers for me and sounds like you too at some level. And I think that giving women tools to really understand that, and I spend actually a big portion of this book talking about that, about the ego and the soul and where are you really aligning your energy and how that manifests on a daily and sometimes minute by minute situation.
Yes. And I think every human alive today on this planet is being challenged to sharpen their awareness about the choices that they make. Really, you know, this is so much about our sovereign choices and I think our agency. And we are at a moment where life is really hanging in the balance in a lot of ways, and so is freedom. And so it's a really good time to strengthen that sense of how do we identify with a soul purpose and not get triggered by our egos.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. And one of my findings / learnings, I think personally, that we, you know, come down from the light, the universe, God, heaven, whatever you call it, but we are teardrops of the light and we are buried in this human body that is engulfed by the ego. And our life's work is to get our soul light to shine brighter than our ego.
Mm-hmm. I would have to agree with that. I believe that we all have a birthright to a joyful and productive life. Mm. That many people say, and Native people say, that the Creator put us here to celebrate life. And it's an amazing opportunity on this extraordinary, beautiful planet that's our home. And so how do we cultivate curiosity and awe and wonder so as not to get trapped in our own ego stories or sucked in by capitalism's false narratives? You know, we are awash in false narratives, and some of them are even coming from other countries who want to blow apart our emergent movements, you know? So it's a real time for discernment, that's for sure. And for strengthening our choices.
Completely, completely. Well, I am so honored to have you here with us and to talk about your book. And I know you're working on a lot of things. So I hope if you put a women's initiative together or a way for women to get together to really dive into your strategies, your knowing, your wisdom, and even the people that you bring together to make this happen. I hope you share it inside the community or tag us, but tell us what's on the horizon for you. I'm sure this book is opening so many doors. So what are you excited about?
Well, it is. I'm excited about the book reaching out into the world and the ways that it is. But also I co-midwife a community called Bioneers, and it's a very beautiful community that exists both online and in person. And we're going to be launching a platform in 2023 that will be a place, again, for convening community and also for the kinds of trainings that we can't find elsewhere. And some of them are going to be, as you say, about featuring partners who can show the way and offer tools and practices for your soul light to become brighter than your ego and stronger than your ego and more joyful than your ego. The ego is not too very joyful, I find, right? But also, you know, for some very practical, tangible things like how do you start a community garden? How do you, you know, develop solar energy for your neighborhood so that you're not reliant on other infrastructure? You know, how do we develop a community bank so that we're not working with banking systems that don't align with our values? So, you know, some of it will be more in the external and lots of it will be in the internal. And I'm excited for that. And I have a website, ninasimons.com, that will always list everything I do, and bioneers.org/NCS. which is Nature, Culture, and the Sacred, will put you in touch with all kinds of media resources that come through Bioneers, and everyone might enjoy that community as well.
Well, hopefully you have included it on your profile in the And Together We Seek.online. I think that would be amazing. And, you know, I'm a big believer that it's going to take all of us in different forms and showing up even sometimes the same or even different so that we can lock arms. And I could not be more thrilled to have you here sharing your journey, your work, and where you're going next. So I really appreciate you taking the time, Nina, and I look forward to staying in touch with you and watching how you flourish.
Thank you so much, JJ, and you too. I really thank you for coalescing this beautiful community, for working with light workers on a beautiful sacred piece of land, and for being so open about bridging the tech world and the world of light workers. That's a very powerful alignment you're creating, and I want to be a part of it. So thank you.
Oh, I'm so excited. And if you make your way to the East Coast, I know you're in New Mexico, but if you make your way to the East Coast, we would love to host you and have an event in person, because I feel like getting in the same room on healing land, it can just be magical and really transform and shift people from the inside out. And that's really how things happen.
It is indeed. Thank you so much, JJ.
Thank you. And that's a wrap. See you again here and over at togetherweseek.online, where you can join live discussions with energy practitioners, healers, and spiritual leaders. See you there.